Scene 11, Sarah Vaskovic, 7:20 p.m. She was not my type, 5 feet nothing at the most. I like my girls 5'7" or 5'8". The average American girl is 5'4", breasts average, hips average. If you imagine taking her by neck and ankle and giving a quick outward jerk in both directions, you will have a girl who is 68 inches tall with small, firm breasts and narrow hips. That's what I like. This one was just the reverse. An average girl had been taken by neck and ankle and had been compressed. Result, 60 inches with breasts like pouter pigeons and a rear end like a bustle. She was very pretty, I'll give her that. Her hair, almost black, was raised into a beehive, to add height, I suppose. She also had a pair of eyes that were just as dark and that were large and with bluish whites. She had a slightly curved nose, and her cheekbones were high and pink. Her white dress reached to her ankles, but fell far short of her collarbone at the other end. She was walking in our direction, and Asimov's eyes never wavered from her. I watched, too, with less delight, and made little bets to myself as to when her trajectory would veer and carry her off into the night, never perhaps to be seen again. I didn't particularly care when that might take place, but it didn't. Her trajectory never veered. She ended up at our table and, ignoring me completely, said, "Pardon me, aren't you Dr. Isaac Asimov?" She had a trace of an accent, Slavic, perhaps. "Hot dog," said Asimov, with a wide and jovial gesture of his arms. "My fame precedes me. I'm all yours, dear. Just tell me where, when, and how many times." "Yes," she said, "your fame does precede you. You have been described to me, and you are Dr. Isaac Asimov." It didn't faze him. Nothing of the sort does. He kept on smiling and said, "To repeat myself, what can I do for you?" It didn't faze him. Nothing of the sort does. He kept on smiling and said, "To repeat myself, what can I do for you?"
"May I join you for a moment?"
"As many moments as there are in eternity," said Asimov, still hewing to the line.
5 or 6 will suffice."
The combination of accent and meticulous English was enticing. I found myself wishing it came out of a more attractive body. She sat down and said,
"My name is Sarah Vaskovic, and I handle public relations for the hotel."
Why I should have chosen to interfere at this moment, I can't exactly say. Perhaps I resented being ignored. Perhaps Asimov's recent dig concerning Giles had left me anxious to strike back at anyone, however meaninglessly. So I said, "What are you doing here on Sunday night? These aren't working hours." She looked at me coldly, as though she were preventing the glance of her eyes from actually touching me. She said,
"I am here as a guest of the ABA, and I work when I please."
And she was looking at Asimov again as though I had existed only for the moment it took to despise me. I took a deep breath and bet myself a grim 5-3 I'd get a chance at the little bitch before she left. She said,
"I understand, Dr. Asimov, that you are planning to write a murder mystery about this hotel."
Asimov looked dashed at this sudden descent into business. He said, "Boy, the news spreads fast." "Not about the hotel, Miss Vaskovic. "Well, not about the hotel. Murder at the ABA is the suggested title. My publishers have asked me to do it."
"But the ABA convention is taking place at this hotel. How realistic do you intend being?"
"As realistic as necessary," said Asimov, suddenly the writer. "The whole point is to include local color." She said,
"Nevertheless, it should not be necessary to mention the name of the hotel."
"It might not be," admitted Asimov. That's when I won my 5-3 bet, or for a moment thought I did. I leaned across the table to her and said, "Look here, little sister, this man is going to write a book. It's none of your business what's going to be in the book. If, after he has published the book, you conceive your privacy to have been invaded, or the hotel to have been libeled, you can sue. Until then, you have nothing to say, and this attempt at prior restraint is disgusting. Why don't you go off now and indulge in your public relations, for which you seem to have no talent?" She looked at me as if she were studying a specimen of uncertain genus, but one that didn't interest her. It was a long, leisurely look, a quite calm look, and then she said, with no sign of an expression on her face,
It must be quite rare for you to find someone shorter than yourself on whom you can exert your fancied masculinity.
Wow, said Asimov. I had to catch my breath. It was not what she said, of course. I've lived on comments of that sort for a generation. It was just the utter unexpected irrelevance of it. When I could speak, I was stuttering. Lady, I said, your inches and mine. But she said, I will speak to you at some more suitable time, Dr. Asimov. She turned away and walked off, not hastily.